Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Great Southern Bank of Springfield, Missouri, has acquired the assets of Valley Bank after that bank was shut down last week by the FDIC. What does the change in ownership mean for the customers of the bank, for those who work there, and for the community? Let's go in depth with Chris Conley with Great Southern Bank. So, Mr. Conley, where is the headquarters of your bank?
Great Southern Bank is headquartered in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay, well, so not that far away from us, just our neighboring state.
Yes, and again, that's where we're headquartered. We have numerous locations in the state of Iowa right now. We've been here for several years, have a very strong presence in western Iowa in the Sioux City area, and then we have several locations in the central Iowa and the Des Moines area already prior to this acquisition.
Well, and that sort of came as a bit of a surprise to those of us in our area, the closing by the FDIC of Valley Bank and its operations in nearby Oskaloosa and in Knoxville. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened?
Well, just a little history as far as Great Southern and this process. This is actually the fifth FDIC-assisted acquisition that we've been part of since 2009. But, you know, basically the process is, you know, when a bank gets to a certain state, you know, the FDIC comes in, it takes them into receivership. You know, everything in the world basically is done prior to it getting to the closure point of trying to rectify whatever those issues were. But it eventually gets to a point where the FDIC puts the bank out for bid. And then if another bank corporation is interested in bidding on that, they could do that. Then the week prior, the FDIC selects the winning bidder. And then the Friday night after that's done, then they literally go in and, in this case, at 5 o'clock, close the bank at 5 o'clock. And at 5:01, they reopened it under Great Southern's ownership. I cannot stress enough, as far as this process is concerned, that everything is the same. You know, nothing changes other than the name on the building. The deposits are, you know, the deposits are still insured. And even those that are beyond the insured level, Great Southern Bank bought all of the deposits. So every dime that was in that bank prior to our receiving the bank on Friday of this last Friday, every dime is still there. Every person's account is still valid. As well as, I mean, they will continue to use their Valley Bank checks, their debit cards. Eventually, we'll transition into checks and debit cards that reflect the Great Southern name. But as far as the customers are concerned, nothing changes. The associates, the salespeople, the tellers, the banking center managers, all those folks are going to stay the same. So they're going to be using the same people that they're used to using. The only thing that they're going to see is that signage on the outside of the building change.
Well, that's reassuring to hear that, you know, friends and family that work at the bank will still be there.
You know, we learned a long time ago in this process that you know, it the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter what it says on the outside of that building. If it says the Valley Bank or if it says Great Southern Bank or if it says ABC Bank. You know, those customers want to know, one, that their money is safe, and two, that those same associates and people that they've been used to dealing with for years are still going to be there to help them, and they still have jobs. And as far as the retail world and those banking centers concerned, that's just absolutely the fact. You know, we don't plan on changing that.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chris Conley with Great Southern Bank. You probably don't know a lot about what got corporate Valley Bank in a jam here.
You know, I it's not anything that I really, you know, care to discuss, but no, you're right. I don't have a whole lot of that detail. That's very confidential with the FDIC. You know, we just know, hey, here's what you're buying. But I really couldn't answer that.
Well, what was it about this acquisition that was attractive to Great Southern Bank?
Well, and what was attractive to it is to us was a couple of things. One, you know, when we were doing our due diligence and looking at the locations and the operation, it just kind of fit our corporate culture very well. It looked and felt a lot like the way we do business. And then secondly, and probably just as importantly, is we really have been interested in expanding our footprint in the Iowa market. Right now we service 8 states across the Midwest where we actually have banks as far north as Minneapolis and as far south as Northwest Arkansas, and then we kind of fill in the gap. But, you know, we've got 12, 13 locations in the Sioux City area. We've got 6 locations in the Des Moines area prior to this acquisition. So this really strengthens our presence in the Des Moines area, as well as, you know, gets us into the eastern Iowa Quad Cities area. But I will tell you, when I was looking, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we were doing our due diligence process and looking at the banking centers, I absolutely fell in love with Knoxville and Oskaloosa. I mean, those locations, those towns, I'm a small town guy from Southwest Missouri, and I really like the look and the feel of those communities and the banks there. And we're as excited about being in Knoxville and Oskaloosa as we are in Des Moines and Davenport, for that matter.
Well, and also in our listening area, you recently purchased a bank in Monroe. How's that going?
Oh, it's going well. Yeah, we've had that bank for several years now, Monroe and Newton, outside of Des Moines, and you know, it's been a real good fit for us. You know, Iowa's a lot like Missouri in a lot of ways, you know, just the culture and the people. And it's just, it's a very, very good fit for us. And it's, you know, the associates, the mindset of the associates and their willingness to help their customers just fits our corporate culture very, very well.
You've mentioned corporate culture a couple of times. Could you lay out a little bit about what your corporate culture is?
Well, you know, our message to our customers has always been we're interested in building winning relationships with our customers, our associates, our shareholders, and our communities. You know, that is in priority, that's our message, and in that order. We're very interested in taking care of our customers and our associates. Of course, we are a publicly held company, traded on the NASDAQ market, so we're interested in what's best for our shareholders. But one of the pieces of that, you know, our corporate culture that I'm passionate about is being a good customer, being a good partner in the communities that we serve. And I think that's what's, you know, is where the rubber hits the road here a little bit, and something I'm excited about as we move forward. I think the folks in your listening area are going to be very pleased with our involvement and our commitment to the communities as we move forward and we get through all this whole process. Now, it's going to take some time. We've got a lot of things to do. When you get involved in one of these acquisitions, you got 2 different computer systems, and things have got to be, merged together and converted and so on. But we want to be good partners in that community. You'll find that we get involved with a lot of different things, and as you know, from the Chamber of Commerce to nonprofit organizations, and we want to be good partners in the community as well.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Chris Conley with Great Southern Bank. Well, you sound like a small town guy.
I was born and raised in a town of 900 people, so I am a small town guy. But, I was telling some folks the other day, I was speaking to a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and I said, you know, what's interesting about our company is I was doing this a couple, 3 weeks ago, and literally 2 days prior to that, I was in one of our offices in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, you know, and that metro area is, you know, 3 million plus as far as population of that greater Minneapolis-St. Paul Twin Cities area. And I spoke to this huge Chamber of Commerce, and literally the next day, I was at our banking center in Ellington, Missouri, down toward the Boot Hill of the state of Missouri, addressing another group that I was visiting with in a town of just under 200 people. So we have a pretty vast, a wide array of areas that we serve. But to be honest with you, I enjoy those small towns and the tightness and you know, everybody knows everybody. And this is one thing I was very concerned with is, you know, that Oskaloosa, Knoxville banking centers are good, healthy banks down there. And when you get in those smaller and tight-knit communities, it seems to hit those areas a little harder than it does a greater Des Moines area. You know, I think some of the folks in the bigger cities, you know, they probably have experienced or have seen bank failure before, but in the small areas, I think it's a little harder, and it's something that we're very conscious of.
Does your bank work actively with cities, with community leaders to try to do some economic development?
Absolutely. I mean, the CRA and the Community Reinvestment Act is something that we're very passionate about helping and underserved areas, moderate to low income areas. You know, we're very active with that, especially in the metropolitan areas. But that is a very important piece to our business model. We are very active, especially in community development. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see any changes coming to the banks at all?
Well, not dramatically. You know, you're going to see some signage and this type of thing. But, you know, the list of products that Valley offered their customers is very similar to ours. I mean, we're going to bring some things to the table that Valley couldn't just because we have, you know, we're a $4 billion company. And bigger doesn't always make better. I don't mean to make that, you know, sound like we've got all the answers. But we're a very large community bank and again, publicly held. We're certainly not one of the mega banks. But, you know, we'll bring some resources to the table that maybe Valley didn't have those resources. And again, we're still in the learning stage of what they've got and what they offer. But I think at the very least, we'll enhance the products and different things that they offered. And we'll definitely be adding some to the table.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I mean, the big message that we really need to get out to the listeners and to the customers is it's business as usual. Over the last 3 days, we've said that till I think people are sick of hearing it, but it's just the absolute truth that, you know, again, everybody's money is safe. Their loans are still intact. The associates are still there. You know, they're going to see some change on the signage and this type of stuff on the buildings. But, you know, anything that they were doing before, they're going to continue to do. You know, they're going to, the only thing we're going to do is enhance what's currently there. I mean, the thing about it is, when you get into an acquisition like this, you know, when we buy a bank or any type of company that we buy it because we like it for what it is. And going in and just starting making wholesale changes and trying to reinvent the wheel doesn't make sense. And I tell you something else that we really discovered, too. Through every one of these acquisitions that we've done over the last 7 or 8 years, we've learned things as well. You know, it's kind of like, you know, gathering some people together in a little bit of a banking all-star team, so to speak. And we've learned things in this process, and we've incorporated some things from a bank like Valley and said, Mom, why? My goodness, why didn't we think of that? And then we've incorporated that corporately. So it's a learning experience for us, and we don't have such big egos that we believe that everything that we do is perfect and we've got it all figured out. So we're always interested to see how they're doing things, and then some of those things we implement into our daily operations.
Thanks to Chris Conley for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.